Morning, Nick. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Good, yes. Not bad, not bad. Recovered from a bit of a tumultuous morning.
Yeah, I heard. Give a quick overview.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're getting our driveway block paved, which is nothing particularly exciting.
Yep.
And we sort of agreed on Tuesday with the person that's going to do it, the company that's going to do it. Grid price and everything, fine. And he says, right, we'll pop round with the contracts. We'll get all the paperwork signed. Perfect. So we're thinking that we start next week, gearing ourselves up for that. And then at 8 o'clock this morning, just about to drop my daughter off at school, all these trucks turned up outside our house. Well, actually, it was worse than that because I just nipped out in the car and I came back. And there was a digger on the driveway and trucks either side down the road. I'm like, what? So I jumped out and, I had a word with them and told them to stop until I had some paperwork. And then we got some paperwork. And I was in two minds whether to chuck them off and say, look.
Did they actually knock on the door or are they just going to start digging?
Well, there's no one in because we were out in the car. So they did say they'd been knocking on the door. And they hadn't actually started digging. So I don't know if they would have started until I'd spoken to somebody. But anyway, I was in two minds to chuck them off and say, forget the whole thing. But then I kind of thought, well, actually, getting it done quickly is not such a bad idea. And why not, you know? So we got the paperwork sorted out there and then, and off they go. They're doing it now whilst we're here. So
yep. But
it's not the best way to start your morning with a shock like that.
Well, no, you said it needs to be, you're off at lunchtime for meetings and stuff anyway. So it's just made the day a bit more crazy, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to nip back as much as I can throughout the day and just check everything's okay. But we checked them out beforehand. So they're pretty decent firm and, you know.
Did you not ask if they needed, instead of doing all the paperwork, they need some iPad up or something?
Yeah, this is what you need, mate.
Paperless, paperless driveways.
Yeah, never have this problem again. You can tweet your customers when you're about to turn up.
There you go.
Great idea. What have you been up to?
I have been taking it easy this week, as usual for the past few weeks. I kind of set aside this week, well, because usually I go back to Gloucester to do some work and see family and stuff each Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
And kind of stay over. And decided this week to just stay in Reading and work from home and stuff. But kind of got to Monday morning and sat on my computer thinking I should be all, you know, excited to start the working week and all that kind of stuff. And I was just staring at my monitor going, blimey, I really don't want to be sat in front of my computer doing work again. And I've kind of had this feeling since coming back from holiday, and you know, I spoke about last week, I've still been in holiday mode and stuff.
Yeah.
And from doing the podcast and stuff and, you know, chatting to you each week, you know, every single week I seem to have either a different idea or I'm going off in a different direction or just can't seem to focus on anything in particular. And so, you know, as I just mentioned, it's either going through a midlife crisis or suffering burnout or something like that.
I hope it's not. I don't think it's a midlife crisis. I hope not, anyway.
Well, yeah, it would be a bit early, wouldn't it? But
I'm overdue if it is.
Might be better to get it over and done with now, get it out of the way. And so there was this chap who used to be Tim Ferriss's special project manager, I think he was called, or something like that.
Yeah.
He used to work, help him on his books and that kind of stuff. His name's, I think, Charlie Hoehn. And he wrote a book called Play It Away. And when he was working for Tim Ferriss and, you know, organising his conference and bits and pieces, he was working himself, like, I don't know, 23 hours a day, taking all these nootropic things that keep you awake that the fighter pilots take and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Basically, ended up having panic attacks on the floor and, you know, his heart beating at 200 beats per second or something like that. And ended up quitting and wrote this book about, you know, anxiety and burnout and overwork and all that kind of stuff. And so his book, I knew about his book, it's been out a while now. It's been on my wish list for a while. And so on Monday morning, I sat on my computer kind of dreading even typing a single word on the keyboard and stuff. I was like, well, I'll just buy this book and have a read and, you know, it might change my life or whatever. And so it's quite funny because there's a set of questions quite at the beginning. So, you know, if you have these questions, you know, you might be suffering from, calls it anxiety, but I guess it's burnout, same thing.
Right.
And so we'll go through these questions.
We'll go through now, shall we? Okay.
Okay, it's question number one. Do you feel guilty or anxious when not working?
Yes.
Yeah, I was yes for that.
Yeah.
Have you stopped playing with your friends?
Partially, yes. I mean, I still do my darts, which is my one excuse to go out with my mates. But
so I used to play football two or three times a week, and I stopped, so not doing that. And the stuff I do, I guess golf, you kind of play with a couple of other people, but it can quite often be a solitary sport.
And
the running is a solitary thing as well, isn't it? So
it's true.
Do all your daily activities revolve around building a more successful career?
Pretty much, yes.
I guess from the podcast, people will understand that as being a yes. Are you having fewer than 8 hours sleep per night?
Definitely, yes.
So I'm close to that. So that one I'd say I'm like,
I maybe get 8 hours once or twice a week, but very infrequently.
Are you consuming stimulants multiple times per day to hide exhaustion?
I don't know about exhaustion, but I drink probably 3 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
Proper coffee sort of thing.
So I'm more of a Diet Coke person, so yeah. I was relying on the caffeine from that, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you sitting still and staring at screens for most of your waking hours?
Yes.
Yeah, tick. Do you interact with people primarily through screens?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
tick.
Yeah.
Are you indoors all day long, depriving yourself of fresh air and sunlight?
Well, I mean, the running gets me out, and I do try and go out. You know, if I am going to be stuck in all day, I maybe go out to the shop on my bike or something.
Yeah.
But basically, yes, I suppose. Yeah.
Do you depend on alcohol or drugs to cope with social situations outside of work?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I depend on them, but that's kind of just the way we do it, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. It's a British culture,
your mates,
isn't it?
You have a few beers, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't say I depend on them, but yeah, every time I do go out,
I drink usually. Yeah,
usually drink.
Yeah.
So yeah. After going through those questions, I was like, yep.
Shit.
So you know, perhaps I am suffering from burnout.
Well, I am as well. On that count.
You know, my lack of commitment to any kind of project on the podcast and so on is a...
Yeah. It's a similar story for me, though, isn't it, as well, if you think about it, all the stuff that I've...
And but, you know, when you made the commitment to stop working on Joined Up Data,
yeah,
how much better you felt.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
It's true, yeah, that's true.
And so this week, rather than... Well, the plan was to stay in Reading and do work. I've obviously stayed in Reading, but I've tried to stay away from my computer and stuff. And so the book's got, like, 4 weeks of, you know, a plan to... different things to do each week to try and get yourself back out of burnout or whatever, or anxiety, whatever you want to call it. And the first week is mostly around staying away from news sites and social media and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to do that a bit. And yeah, we'll see. The one thing I'm trying to do is, and this is another thing I've discussed with a friend before, is everything I do has a score attached to it.
Okay.
So like, with business and stuff, it's all around revenue, isn't it?
Yeah.
And with golf, it's always around the score you shoot.
Yeah.
Even with running, it's the miles you
time.
Do or the time you do.
Yeah.
And so I want to find an activity, really, that doesn't have a score attached to it that I enjoy doing, that I can just do for the love of doing it. And so I thought about getting back into... And one of the things that the book goes on about is, you know, the things you did as a kid, you know, you're probably not doing them now, which is the play bit. And, you know, look at getting back to doing those types of things. And so cycling was one thing I always used to do when I was younger, and so I've been... I nearly went out.
You've got to be careful with that as well.
I nearly went out and bought a mountain bike on Monday.
Oh, really?
But, so I've got a bike in the...
Perhaps it is a midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah. It's not a motorbike, thankfully.
Right.
I've got a bike, like a hybrid bike in our outhouse bit, so I thought rather than go and spend money on a mountain bike, I should just go out for a bike ride and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I went out for a bike ride and it was really, really nice. And so, yeah, I know what you're going to say, you know, there's miles and time
and
stuff
attached
to that, you've got to be careful. But I guess as long as there is no...
Leave your Garmin at home.
Exactly, yeah. And I guess even with mountain biking, there's less attached to that because you're kind of going through tracks and stuff, which is, I guess, why...
It's nice around here as well, isn't it? It's not just not too far away. You're out in the countryside.
Yeah, so. There's that. And there's also Swinley Forest just
yes,
in Bracknell. Because Soph and I, before we had Isabel and stuff, well, it's going back like 5 or 6 years, we used to go mountain biking over there, too.
Right.
And we used to both love it.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan.
So we'll see. So I'm not wanting to commit to any kind of project at the moment or say any kind of update. Although I've worked through a bit of the 30x500 course this week, which has been good.
Yeah. Well, just back on that thing about attaching a score to everything, I think that really resonates actually, because I think I'm set the same with that. There's a lot of things that I'd really like to do just for the fun of it, but my don't have time for that switch always.
Well, the first thing as well is you feel guilty when you're not working, don't you?
So if I'm just doing something because I enjoy doing it, then I'm not progressing in any way. That's the way I feel, you know. And so that's interesting.
So there's only a few things, right, that I can think of potentially that I could do. Well, looking at two guitars sat in the corner there, you know, playing a guitar that doesn't have a score attached to it, does it necessarily?
No.
Unless you're wanting to go to gigs and you count the number of people coming to each gig. You can attach a score to anything, can't you?
You can attach
like
a score.
Like painting model aeroplanes and model cars I used to do, there's no real score attached to that.
No.
Or building them and stuff. I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it, that? I have to think a bit more about that myself because there's all sorts of stuff I'd like to do, and especially with Lois, for example, you know, stuff that I'd like to spend time with doing with Lois. But it's a balancing act, you know, between... whether it's taking a business forward or earning money or whatever it is, compared to just doing it for the sake of it. You've got to sort of... interesting. So you're saying you've been doing a bit of 30x500?
Yeah, and actually this week it has... So in terms of work stuff, I've been doing the bare minimum this week, which has actually been quite nice as well in terms of like sitting down at the start of each day and thinking, what is literally the bare minimum I've got to do? Such as do payroll, because everyone's got to be paid. But that, like on that day, that was all I had to do. So I got that done first thing, and then I've got had the rest of the day to kind of either go think about what to do that doesn't involve work, which is quite hard when you're kind of, well, like I say, by yourself and you want to do something that doesn't have a score attached to it or something like that.
Because
I can't go and do a long run because of my hip flexor injury and stuff, which isn't good. And so I went and practiced golf a little bit, but then that's actually made my back and hip flexor worse. And so this is where cycling, actually, I kind of have gone back to that because it's kind of low impact, isn't it?
You could build up some muscles that would help everything.
Well, that's what I'm hoping as well. I only went for a 30-minute bike ride the other day. I kind of felt like my hips felt they were in a different position when I got off the bike. So I'm hoping that will help. What was the original question? I
can't remember. 30 by 500.
Yeah, that's it. And so there's flip-flopping between ideas and stuff again. So we spoke about the marketing as a service thing last time.
We did. So just to recap where we are on 30 by 400 at the moment. So we talked a bit last week about trying to find your audience, really. Yeah. And that's kind of where the course is for us at the moment, which is around finding your audience and then sort of, you know, finding the pains in your audience by reading the forums and other watering holes and stuff.
And so I looked for the golf instructors watering holes forums and stuff, and they don't exist, so I'm going to kind of discount that as an audience, because I'm not a golf instructor, so I'm not part of that audience as well, which is one of the requirements, isn't it? But going back to the marketing as a service thing, the idea was for us to take on, almost build that as a consultancy thing, or to start that as a consultancy thing. But from the direction, you know, of 30 by 500 of creating educational material, rather than us doing the same kind of topics of, you know, blog posts, content marketing, that kind of stuff, of doing it as an educational thing for, you know, someone who's starting up a business, an educational thing of this is what you need to do and think about when you're starting a business, of, you know, going through all the lists of all the things you need to do, such as register domain name, get email set up. Get started with MailChimp, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those different things. There's like a long list of tools that you can make use of as a business.
Yeah.
I'm not sure a small business or a business of, you know, five people or something would pay for us to do that.
Well, that's where the whole 30 by 500 comes in, isn't it? This whole painstorming thing of basically you're going through the forum posts to pick out words and phrases that are used that give you an insight into how those people's minds tick. And then hopefully some of that information will help tell you what sorts of things they buy. And some of that information will tell you what it is that they really want. And then you can put all those things together and come up with, well, actually, they would buy this if I made this, you know. So maybe that is a step-by-step guide on how to get a domain name. Or maybe it's something else, I don't know. But that's the idea, isn't it?
And so, so rather than us doing it as a service thing, perhaps do it as a, I don't know, training, education, videos thing they can download. And it's more scalable that way anyway, rather than us having to recruit people to look after and do that for people. You know, if you can sell a load of copies of this training material or monthly thing, then...
And that's your e-bombs that they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's really good. Yeah, it sounds great.
So
cool.
But, you know, next week I might have
change
another idea.
Different mind, yeah. You'll decide.
Well, I'll be starting up a cycling website and offering cycling tours and
you'll
stuff.
Do a Forrest Gump, but on bikes or something, and cycle around the world or something like that.
So, what about
so me?
Yourself?
Yeah,
what
well, been I've, been, I've been mainly... obviously the 3 at freelance is still going on, but in between times I've been 30 by 500 again. So last week I was struggling with an audience and sort of saying that there's a list of stuff that I'd written down, things that I'm part of, but none of it was particularly inspiring. And part of the reason for me having that kind of sort of crisis over what audience to pick is that there's been something else that's been bubbling along for a couple of weeks, which I mentioned a while ago is one of these sort of projects which appear to you because you experience the pain from the other side, from the business, and then you can see it. And it's around sort of childcare clubs and childcare places. You know, they always, or the ones I deal with, tends to have really dodgy booking systems, if any booking system at all, you know, forms scanned and posted and all sorts of nonsense and no linked up payments and all that, and that's always frustrated me. And so I spoke to the manager of one of the clubs that Lois goes to, and he was really keen, sort of bit my hand off almost when I started talking to him about it. So we had a meeting about it, and he would, you know, would I talked about the sort of thing I do. I talked about what, well, first of all, I actually did it a bit more like a customer interview, you know?
Right.
So I asked him a bunch of questions about what the problems are that he faces. And then I sort of proposed the sort of thing that I would do to solve that. And he was very pleased about it. And I sort of quoted a price, said this is sort of the sort of price it would be. And he says, yeah, that's no problem. So that's what I was amazed about, because I was thinking, yeah, they want all this, but there's no money in it, so they wouldn't want to pay for anything. But he was fine with that, so I thought, great, okay, well, learning from my mistakes in the past, one customer doesn't make a business. And so I thought, well, I got some more contacts off him. And the long story short is I've cold called four, other than the ones I've spoken to face-to-face. I've spoken to two face-to-face, and I'm speaking to another one this afternoon.
Yeah.
And so far, all of them have got a level of interest. Some of them have already got things in place. So of the four I spoke to on the phone, one of them I've got a meeting with this afternoon. One of them already had something, and they're just paying a company to build something bespoke for them.
Right.
So that, although it's a negative in terms of interest in what I'm doing, it's or what I may do. There's nothing written, not started anything yet. Yeah, although that's the negative for that, it proves that they're prepared to spend money on it. Mm. So the meetings I've had have been very positive, and you know, I did the same process for each one, where I sort of went through the questions about what it is they're struggling with, and then I sort of proposed what I've been thinking about and how much it might cost. Yeah, and so far it's unbelievable. Every single call or meeting has been we pay for that. So the 35x500 thing, now the 35x500 course says that's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Talking to people face to face, there's a certain psychology there, which means that people are going to be nice to you. And so people aren't going to say, no, I wouldn't buy that, or no, that's rubbish. You know, they're always going to be more positive face to face than if you sort of peer over their shoulder without them knowing by reading what they're saying in forums, then you'll get their real opinions. So what I've been thinking about doing is, rather than wade into building something for the people that I know I've got are interested, I could do a bit of 30x500 sales safari on that niche. So after last week's crisis of product audience, I decided that it's breaking the rules slightly, because I'm not really a part of this group. I've had interaction with these companies, but I'm not actually part of that community. So that's sort of breaking the first rule of 30x500, really. But
you are from the end user, because your daughter goes to these clubs
and
you have to
pay
and stuff.
So I am involved, you know, indirectly. And, and you know, and I think there's sort of a loop here, where you've got your audience, the pain that they're suffering, and then the product, you know, the solution to it. And all these things sort of interact, really. And so I've got...
Yeah.
A pain, and I've got an idea of a product which could solve it, and so now I'm just investigating the audience further. So I'm going to do the 30x500 thing, or the sales safaris on the audience.
Right.
So this week I've been mainly finding where they hang out, and at first I was tearing my hair out, because I was thinking they're not online. But then I did sort of step back a bit, and so what I started to do was start to search job boards for job titles that people might have, and then read some of the job descriptions and pick out keywords from the job descriptions. Mm. And that's really useful. I mean, it's not my idea. I've read that somewhere to do that, but I can't remember where, so unfortunately I can't attribute it to anybody. But it is a great idea. I'd forgotten about it, really, until I started to do it. That if you search for job titles in the industry that you're going to target, that gives you a lot of information about that industry. And then I sort of stepped back and found some wider forums that aren't specifically for this niche, but they will cover it. And I've only managed one sales safari, but I've, you know, I've been building on the stuff that I'm learning 30x500. So it's kind of watch this space, really. I think I'm not getting carried away. I'm not getting wedded to the idea. So I'll do the 30x500 stuff a bit more, do some more sales safaris. And I think sort of in my head, I've got this idea of, if I can get five people to say, yeah, we'll sign up as early adopters of this product if you ever build it.
Yeah.
Or I can definitely identify some stuff from the sales safari work, then I'll probably go for it, but who knows.
Can you not get them to pay up front before it's built? That's one of the things that some people who have other courses, like 30x500, say, don't even bill up front.
I could try. I could try. I've got no actual reason for being nervous about that, but I am nervous about that. I guess I'm just worried about this whole thing about them not having much money and whether they'd do that.
But how did remember we were talking about the teacher guy who built his thing? He charged up front, didn't he?
He did a
Kickstarter, didn't he?
He did, like, it was a WordPress theme, Kickstarter type WordPress theme, so people could basically donate and sign up that way. So what I could do is do something like that and say, look, if you want to be part of our early adopters and influence the product, you need to chuck some money in there.
Yeah, well, you could say, you know, however much you're going to charge, do 25% of it and say you got to pay this up front, and this will get you the first year for 25% of what the normal price would be, just to get the commitment from them.
Yeah, that's like you not say, a bad idea.
When you meet people face to face, they're nice to you and they want to say yes just to get you
yes.
out, not get you out of the room, but you know.
Yeah.
And it's not until you get their credit card details that's the indication they'll pay for it.
You're right, yeah. And I think gut feel is that the people I've spoken to weren't just being nice. They were actually saying that you know, they were genuinely looking for something like this. But of course, when it comes to hand over the money, that's a different story altogether. So who knows? But maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll think about that for next week, try and get something like that done, up and running.
So with 30 by 500 as well...
Mm-hmm.
They suggest not doing a product first, don't they? It's just doing
they do, so I'm breaking all the rules. Yeah. But, you know, if during the sales safari I can find something that would be a product, you know, they say do something small, so they don't actually specify what it is. It's usually like an ebook or a training course, but it's something small. So if I can find something small to do, I'll do it.
But it'll be interesting with the sales safari thing you're going to do, whether you find enough e-bomb material.
Yeah, that's my worry.
To be the marketing thing, otherwise it's going to have to be manual sales, isn't it? Yeah. People can't find you through Google and stuff.
That's it, and that is my worry, really, is that it's all very well there being a market there, but if you can't reach them, then it's not really going to help you much, you know. So, but, you know, it's keeping me entertained at the moment, and you know, if nothing else, I'm learning the stuff in the material in the course.
Yeah.
So... And I think if I just put it to one side and went off down the QT route or the ASP.NET route or whatever, it had always been nagging in the back of my head because I've got a few meetings in and it's all positive. I need something to just drop on it and kill it or to do it, you know, or to take it further anyway. Otherwise, it'll just drive me insane. So I think it makes sense for me to just run with it for at least a few weeks.
Cool.
Yeah, it's all good.
Got any stuff?
Well, there's been some... there's one stuff I saw this week, which is audienceops.com. I don't know if you saw that. Somebody, I think Joanna Weeb tweeted it, actually, from Copy Hackers. It's content as a service, if you like. So you sign up, and they've got different plans, and they'll sort of do you a regular cycle of content writing for your content marketing. And it looks really good, because it's not just kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll chuck out a few articles a month. They actually invest from the spiel on the website, they invest time in becoming knowledgeable in the subject area. You know, so you actually get quality stuff coming out. And I think they do a launch plan, so they'll do a whole launch thing for you. They'll build email courses for you. They'll write copy, and it's something like $500 a month for the basic package, which is like two blog posts a week or something like that. Don't sort of trust me on those. Go and check the website out because I'm doing it from memory. But yeah, it looks really good, and it's the sort of thing, if I had a bit of income coming from a product, I'd be definitely looking at, I think. So
very cool.
That's good. And the other stuff is, I only really noticed it last night, all the news coming out of the Build, Microsoft Build conference.
Yeah, there's a big conference going on at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. They seem to be sort of turning the ship a bit in terms of the development community, because they've got, they've announced... The .NET Core has been released for Linux and Mac OS X, which is amazing. So if you can write C# code to build apps for those other platforms as well as for Windows, that's it.
So if you build like a Windows Forms application now, does that mean it will run on...
I don't think it'll be a Windows Forms, because the Windows Forms is probably not part of Core. I don't know, actually. I don't know the .NET framework in enough detail, but the Core will be all your sort of string frameworks, you know, string classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's obviously a step towards that. And so at some point, then that'll be, you'd imagine that sort of thing will be there. It's pretty amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then there's other stuff as well that they've launched. Visual Studio Code, which is a code editor. Now, I know lots of people have their own favorite text editors that they use for coding. And I, I've got a Mac and a MacBook, and I've got a separate boot into Windows for doing .NET development and so on for clients. And I never get on with any of the editors on the Mac. Now, I've not tried Sublime and stuff like that, so I can't really comment on those. I didn't want to go through the learning curve. But I've never used a better IDE than Visual Studio. Yeah, so if any of that juice is in Visual Studio code, then I'm with it all the way.
This has been part of my frustration from trying to learn PHP and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I realise another mistake I've made is trying to learn Mac development at the same time as well, because that's just been a nightmare. That's one of the things that led me to, on Monday, to be fed up and staring at my computer screen, to be honest. In terms of us .NET developers, because Visual Studio is so great, we've been spoiled. And so trying to go to PHP and use Sublime Text and stuff like that, which hasn't got great IntelliSense and can't press F5 and it just spin up its own little web server and show you the page and stuff, has just been a real nightmare.
Yeah.
So
I've been using Eclipse as well for one of my freelance projects, and I hate that with a passion. I really don't like it. It's pretty good, but it's just quirky, you know, and perhaps I've just not used it long enough, but I find it really frustrating.
Like, I know, the old, I don't know what to call them, the non-Microsofty people will say, well, Visual Studio is this great, huge thing, it's 8 GB download and all that kind of stuff, but for the 8 GB download, to be able to press F5 and launch Internet Explorer or whichever browser you want now, because you can change like the browser it launches and testing your website and stuff, is brilliant. But
it is really good. I think it has got a lot of crud in it these days. There's lots of stuff bolted on, but the core of what it does is just really, really good. There's some other stuff as well, though. What else have I got in the notes? Something else here? Oh, yeah. So Microsoft has struggled to get people to develop apps for their phone and, I guess, Windows 8 to some extent. And so they've started to make it easier. There's not really much details from what I can tell on this, but they're making it easier for developers to bring their Android and iOS apps to Windows 10 phones, which is a pretty good move by them, I think, because if you've already got an app on iOS and Android and you can just bring it over relatively straightforwardly, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Microsoft get a shitload more apps in their marketplace. It makes it a much more attractive option. And what they're saying is, I think, that your C++ and Java, Android Java code, should run with minimal changes. I think iOS apps is a bit different, but it's they're obviously going that way, which is pretty incredible. Yeah, I think they showed Candy Crush on Windows Phone 10.
Right,
so they'd ported it over.
Yeah,
which is pretty impressive. Yeah. So that's all good. I think it's interesting to see them go that way. They're obviously trying to embrace the development community.
Their term is now they're going where the developers are, aren't they? Rather than try and force everyone to use Windows and Visual Studio and stuff, is releasing tools that will run on Linux or Mac OS and so on.
It's
very good. Cool. It's interesting on Hacker News to kind of, you see people's comments of when certain stuff has been released recently about the open source stuff and stuff running on Linux, and the comments are saying, we wouldn't have seen this 5 years ago from Microsoft.
No.
And people are, because there's lots of people that I've seen on Hacker News that have the C# language themselves, they love it in terms of, the syntax and what it can do and that kind of stuff. But the thing that held them back was the .NET framework only being on Windows and having to use Visual Studio to develop it. So if people can use C# but in different editors and on different platforms, and it's only going to be good for a language.
Well, this Xamarin,
good for us because we know it.
yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I would say C sharp. I like C sharp. I mean, my C sharp and C++, because I'm an oldie, those are my favourites in terms of programming languages.
Yeah.
C sharp is probably much more productive than C++, but it's, those are my favourites. And actually mentioning that, mobile visual C++, so that's something else that they've got out there now. They're talking about using C++ to write cross-platform apps.
Right.
And I think this is where Xamarin come in, really. Because we talked about them before in terms of their cross-platform mobile offering. They're in a really good place now if Microsoft are adopting all these different platforms and providing stuff for it, because, presumably they could just really quickly make use of that and they'll be there, basically, the forefront. So that's good. Yeah, it's definitely an area to watch.
Yep. Well, I think we're recording this after the first day of the conference, aren't we? So God knows what else will be announced.
We'll be so out of date.
Tomorrow,
we'll be so out of date by the time Monday comes around. But there you go. That's us.
Right.
I've got the beer festival tomorrow. I'm so excited.
What's the weather like tomorrow?
It's supposed to be all right. I'm just looking out the window now. It's grey.
It's grey, isn't it, all of a sudden?
It's supposed to be all right. I think it's going to be chilly, but it's fairly sunny, sort of a bit of cloud, which is good because I'll end up being burnt to a crisp if it's sunny all day. Because you do forget after a while, after a few fine ales.
Saturday booked in for a hangover then?
I have got a Saturday booked in for a hangover. I've had it booked in for a while. I was extra busy with the DIY last weekend to make sure I could get a pass.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
So look forward to the stories next week.
If you see me falling around town Friday night, then yeah, you'll know why. But no, it's good. It's always good. It's a good day. We're quite old. We sit there with our little foldaway chairs, eating pork scratchings and drinking real ale.
Putting the world to rights.
Absolutely.
Right.
Anyway, that's it. Yeah.
See you next week, I guess.
Next week, yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye.